Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is a listener request in regards to nutrition, and we're going to be discussing hydration. So making sure you're drinking enough fluid, okay? And we're looking at it for health, energy, and performance purposes. So often I'm usually surprised. You would think by this point I wouldn't be surprised, but it still surprises me. About how often it is that people will have trouble drinking enough fluid throughout the day. And by enough, I mean I run across people all the time who don't even get like a half a gallon of water all day. And if you fall into that category and you think like, wow, that doesn't, you know, that sounds like it'd be a lot. Or it doesn't sound like it's bad if I only got a half a gallon. Well, that is usually not enough for most people. So the human body runs off of water. So water, we've talked about before, like our bodies being machines, and how our calories, our food, are kind of like the gasoline that you would add to your car, right? So the food that we eat is kind of the energy that we need to run throughout the day. Well, water is like oil in a car. So oil in a car's engine just kind of makes sure everything glides and moves smoothly. So it's not really part of the fuel. Like, our car will run without oil for a very short time, but it can run without oil. Our body can run without water, but it just doesn't run efficiently. It doesn't run well. It accumulates a lot of just wear and tear damage. There's just, it is running the system not optimally. So if we stay hydrated, our body in general runs significantly better. We feel better, we look better, everything goes better. So that's what we want to talk about, kind of all that stuff today, and get us some good ideas on how to drink more if we do struggle with that. So there are equations for like how much water you should have based on your body size, but those are like calorie equations where it's kind of just bullshit. So because, you know, if you take 10 people who weigh 150 pounds, all 10 are going to have different muscle mass versus fat mass. All 10 are going to have different activity levels. All 10 are going to have just different genetic differences on how much water they need or don't need throughout the day. So some people are born like camels and some people are not. So generally, what I have people try to do is to drink at least a half a gallon of fluid a day that is non-carbonated. And we'll get into that in a second here. But it has to be non-carbonated fluid, and you're looking for a half a gallon a day. Once the person can do that, we try to increase as much as we can from there. So, but I consider half a gallon to be minimal. I get the person up to a gallon of water a day or liquid a day, and chances are that's going to be pretty good for most people. And then as you get into more athletic people, they got to have more and more as well. And it makes sense in the sense to where athletic people use their body more, so therefore they need more of this stuff that keeps your body being able to be used. So that would be more calories, more water for the like the oil type effect. So all that stuff. So as you use a machine more, it requires more maintenance. That's typical, right? So let's look at health and energy. So I'm just going to talk real quick about one of the main reasons why we would benefit from making sure we have enough hydration, enough liquids throughout our day. First one is digestion. So a lot of people have issues with digestion. Then they'll call it like irritable bowel syndrome, or they'll just kind of feel blocked up all day, or they'll feel gassy and bloated all day. And overwhelmingly the case in these areas is that they aren't having enough water. So water, what it does is it helps the food be more moist as it goes into our intestines. And then that allows it to break down better, move better. It just, the whole process goes a lot better. It also helps you absorb more nutrients from the food that is in your intestines. So you're going to get better kind of absorption rate. You're going to get more out of the food that you eat. The speed of your digestion will go better so that we don't feel blocked up. And then it also doesn't turn out to be like really gassy and bloating as the body's trying to break the food down, but the food doesn't seem to be moving much. And then it helps with the ease of the bathroom, so going to the bathroom. So a lot of people, as they get older, in their 50s and 60s and even older than that, is they'll report feeling constipated and actually having painful trips to the bathroom. And the reason why is because they're dehydrated. So like the wheels are not greased, as they say. So nothing is going to want to move well when you're trying to go to the bathroom if you're not hydrated. So that can help a ton. Just getting more fluid in helps digestion go smoothly, go better, and you have less irritable effects from digestion. And that can wear down a lot of people. So if you're somebody who deals with gas and bloating and just kind of stomach annoyance all day, that can really wear you down. Not only does it affect your physical self, but it affects your mood. You know, it affects your interactions with other people. So even just something as simple as drinking more fluid can help so much of your life, just outside, even outside of physical health. So the other thing we look at is liquid and kind of like water hydration levels. It is involved in the processing of all body processes. So we require water for almost every single freaking thing that happens in our body. So like when enzymes interact and do their thing, water is often involved. Whenever our muscles contract, water is often involved. So there's a lot of processes just in general. So if we want to grow, like for example, one of the biggest pieces of advice I give to females when they want to have soft, smooth skin is to drink more fluids. So your skin needs to be hydrated for it to feel soft. So if you don't drink enough water, your skin is going to feel very scaly, very dry. And that would be, even if you're, you know, spending a bajillion dollars on all these fancy creams, most of the creams, what they try to do, and if you even look at the commercials, they talk about hydrating the skin, right? Well, why not rely on more than just that cream? Why not have the fluid coming from the inside of the skin, so from what we drink? So it helps with that. So it basically just allows our body to run at the speed in which it should run if we have water and fluid intake. So it's just going to help everything run better. We have better metabolism. We have better energy. Kind of just our whole body feels better. And then also your hydration effect levels affect inflammation. They affect joint stiffness. They affect muscular tightness. So a lot of times when people are dehydrated, their muscles are going to feel very tight and bound down. Their joints are going to feel really clicky and maybe even have like more stabby pains than usual because there's not lubrication within the joint. So if somebody has arthritis and any kind of arthritic related disease, when they're dehydrated, that typically makes everything worse. So with the inflammation, whereas if they're consuming enough fluid, and there are special case scenarios when you get into certain inflammation diseases where somebody has to have the fluid, but they have to have a balance of nutrients and whatnot to make sure that it's not a reverse negative effect from being overhydrated. But for the most part, for most people, if they stay hydrated, inflammation levels will feel better throughout the day. So if you get inflammation in your hands, your knees, your feet, you know, your ankles, I guess, would be anywhere in certain specific joints. If you stay hydrated, that stuff tends to move better. Okay? So that's just for our general health and energy, is it staying hydrated improves digestion. It improves kind of the way we feel throughout the day, whether we feel like we have good energy or not. It provides ease of movement, so in our joints and muscles. Now, when we look at performance, hydration levels affect strength significantly. So they've done a bajillion studies, and they show that even dehydration levels of 2% can start to negatively impact strength, which is a little bit insane because 2% is, it's very easy to be 2% dehydrated. So even when you're trying to do things right. So, but it does negatively impact strength. It can factor into muscular tears. And like we said, if you're dehydrated, inflammation levels will be higher usually. And then also just, again, if we're dehydrated, we're not going to process our food well. We're not going to get as much energy from our food. So therefore, you won't perform as well because you won't feel like you have as much energy as you would have predicted based on the calories that you're eating. So me, for example, is I know that my body is very, very, very sensitive to being dehydrated in the fact of my muscles feeling stretchy or not. So when I'm dehydrated, my muscles will feel very tight and bound down. My movement patterns will start to fall off and kind of not feel as good of quality. I'll start getting nagging little pains in my joints, like I rely on my knees or something like that. And so I found that when I stay more hydrated, I'm just more pliable. I move better. I feel better. I also have less like myofascial type restrictions. So So I just kind of feel like a much better oiled machine, for a sense, for myself. And I've related to past injuries. Since I got more educated over the years, I've been able to look back at some of my older injuries and recognize what they were coming from or what happened at the time. And a lot of them are related to a lot of my muscle tears. So like I said in past podcasts, I've torn 17 muscles over the years. Now I've trained very aggressive and out of kind of like a negative place when I was younger, to where I beat myself up on purpose too much. And so a lot of the injuries are just related to insane amounts of volume or forcing my body into places it maybe wasn't ready for. But also dehydration factored into them as well. So that was something I've recognized, and as I've become more hydrated and paid better attention to hydration, I have significantly less injuries and less annoyances. So I'm way healthier now that I'm paying better attention to my hydration. And that's just healthier in regards to movement quality. And then that translates over to my workouts, to where if I can move better during my workouts, I have less collateral damage into joints and muscles, like less strain on joints and muscles that I didn't want to be strained. And then I just feel like better energy. I feel better focused during my workouts. So let's look at some more information here. Is carbonated fluids don't count towards hydration level. So if you have 2 diet sodas a day, we do not count that towards your half gallon of liquid goal a day. Now, there is not a ton of science to back this up. This claim is going to be 100% based on the fact of me working with people over the last 17 years and people who drank lots of diet soda or carbonated fluids never seemed to report the same results as people who drank non-carbonated fluids, and especially with people with aesthetic-based competitions. So I've helped people get pro cards in aesthetic competitions, so like bodybuilding, you know, physique, stuff like that. So I have helped really, really, really high-level people. I've helped a bunch of people do first-time shows. So I've done this for a lot of years. And on all levels, the amateur up to the pros, the ones who own pro cards, is carbonated fluids don't seem to work the same way. So the person will have like that amount of fluid, say 24 ounces of a carbonated fluid, but they report still having obviously the digestive stress because they just drank a bunch of bubbles. You drink a bunch of air, you're going to have air in your system, and that's going to not help. So a lot of times people will have kind of gassiness and bloatedness and think that they have IBS or they have some kind of digestive issue with a certain food, when it's actually just drinking air bubbles, and then you wonder why you feel gassy. So drinking air bubbles is probably not the best thing to do. Also, they'll just kind of feel their digestion goes slower, energy doesn't feel as good. Whenever you get the person switched over to non-carbonated fluids, even if they're the same amount of fluid, they all have reported having better energy levels, better digestive abilities. So, like I said, I can't really find a lot of science on that. However, like thousands of people. So, like I said, I've had well over 1,000 clients. And I hit over 1,000 clients years and years and years ago. So I don't even know what the number is now. So, but you're looking at hundreds, over 1,000 people experience seeing this happen over and over and over and over. Now, I have tested it in my own life. When I've done diets, I've done a bunch of like weight loss diets before where I lost like 50 pounds in 10 weeks or less. I've lost 70 pounds in 10 months before. I've done a whole bunch of other kind of weight loss like challenges for myself. And I remember I did a couple when I was younger where I used carbonated fluid, so diet soda, as one of the ways to control cravings. And that was freaking horrible. So it did not work well. It's gassy, I bloated, didn't feel good all the time. It didn't really save the cravings because there was still that sweet feeling, that sweet flavor out of the diet soda. So my body still got kind of this sweet kind of tease, but it didn't get the calories it wanted from it. But that sweetness in the diet soda just kept reminding my body of sweetness. Whereas when I've done diets in the past where I didn't drink diet soda and I drank like maybe like flavored waters, or I just had like fruit in my water so that we have like a natural flavoring, my digestive health was way better, cravings were down, everything went a lot better that way. So carbonated fluids don't count, so you have to have a half gallon at least and then aim for more out of non-carbonated fluids. And especially if you have any digestive issues. So if you have any gassiness or bloating, try to get rid of get rid of carbonated fluids as much as you can. So, calorie-free flavored additives. So like Crystal Light, those squirt bottles, like meal bottles and stuff. What are the effect of those? It has no effect, really. So people have gotten to six-pack abs and stepped on stage with drinking that stuff in their water. So I have not seen that become an issue with anybody in terms of trying to get in shape. Now, some people will say, if I have all these additives to my, liquids, will I get cancer in 20 years? Well, diet sodas have been around for a long time. No one seems to have linked cancer or any kind of health issues with them. So that's up to you. It's a personal choice. So I personally try to, I'm lucky in the sense where I'm 280 pounds. So I can just drink iced tea. I don't have to drink like diet tea, or I can just drink milk and not worry about the sugars that are in it. So, however, when I've done diets and I have tried to control any kind of sugar levels, I personally don't like using too much of flavor added things. So I kind of use it in like half my drinks throughout the day. The other half I try to do basic water. So it's just kind of a personal choice. But will it have any negative impact on the way you can look or on your fat loss rate during any kind of diets? No. So you can use calorie-free flavor additives as much as you feel comfortable with the volume that you're using. Now, another thing we have is, what about salting foods? So it is true that if you add salt to your food, you're going to stay more hydrated. So our body holds water in the muscle cells if we have sodium, carbohydrates, and water in our diet. So the body will take those three elements, sodium, carbohydrates, and water, and it makes what's called glycogen, which is kind of like a fuel source that sits in the muscles, and it keeps the muscles hydrated. Now, I have had people talk to me about how they went through all the science and they bought the perfect type of salts and all this other stuff, and they were doing a ketogenic diet. Well, that was pretty damn dumb. So a ketogenic diet has no carbs in it, and then they're worried about trying to get muscle glycogen whenever there's no damn carbs. So the equation for muscle glycogen is sodium, carbs, and water. If you don't have one of those, you ain't going to make the thing you want, okay? So that's what we want to think of. If you're doing a low-carb or no-carb diet, there's really no point in worrying about salting your foods for hydration level, because you're not doing anything. You don't have the complete components to hold everything that you would need in your muscles. Now, is it a bad idea to salt them? No, but it's not going to get the effect that you're looking for. So you have to have some carbohydrates in your diet for salting your foods for hydration purposes to be effective. Okay. Now, most people in today's culture, we've kind of gotten conditioned to not salt our foods because we were kind of told it would negatively impact blood pressure. Well, they've found out that that's not really that important. It's less than half the people in the world. Let's just say less than half the people, they've studied, let's say that, are sensitive to sodium levels to their food. And most people, if they do get a response in blood pressure to sodium, it's not that large of a response to where, like, if you salt one or two meals a day, that you're going to have a heart attack tomorrow. So it's up to you. And if you do have any blood pressure issues or concerns, but you want to play around with salting your foods to stay more hydrated, whether it's for general health purposes or performance purposes, then go ahead and start salting your food, but then check your blood pressure and see if anything happens for you. So I know for myself, being 280 pounds, if I don't have enough sodium naturally from the foods that I eat, I won't feel as well. So I won't perform as well. I'll feel kind of more drained throughout the day. You don't feel as good. So sodium is actually a performance enhancer. It actually helps you perform better. Your muscles stay more hydrated. Like we said, they create the glycogen, so that way there's carbohydrates and fuel source in your muscle bellies. So they'll perform better and have energy quicker. Salting your foods and having more sodium in your food helps with just general hydration levels, so in joints and everything. So if you're an athlete and you've never played around with salting your foods, give it a try. It is going to make you feel a little bit better. And if you're concerned about blood pressure, just start tracking your blood pressure then and see if you get any negative consequences. But salting your foods, like if somebody were to ask, is that helpful? Yes. Is it dangerous? Probably not. However, you'd still want to check your blood pressure just in case. Okay? But it is a good idea to play around with it if you're an athlete, so that way you can see if there's anything you're missing. And salting your foods, like with iodized salt, it's really helpful just to kind of see if you can get a boost from that, because it's pretty cheap. So in terms of a performance enhancer or a supplement you can use, it's one of the cheapest ones out there. Okay? So another kind of area that they wanted to discuss was intra-workout drinks. So if you're worried about staying hydrated while exercising, well, then obviously if you drink something while you exercise, that's going to help you stay hydrated. Now, if you drink something that has some carbohydrates in it and has some sodium in it, then that's going to help you stay hydrated even better. You won't have to pee 1,000 times a day. So intra-workout drinks do help. If you want them for hydration purposes, not only do they have to have sodium, but they do have to have carbohydrates as well. Again, you can't just salt water and expect that it's going to stay in there in your body. You have to have some carbohydrates. Now, if you time this stuff correctly and do all the nuances of having like a pre-workout meal that has high carbs, and then as you drink during the workout, you're hoping that the carbohydrates you ate earlier are being processed at that time, and then all of a sudden that combines with the sodium, blah, 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 blah. Most people listening to this, you're not doing any of that shit correctly, and you are messing up way bigger things in your life than worrying about getting that right. So, like, you need to worry about, okay, did I have breakfast? Am I having my overall calories correct? Do I even have enough protein throughout my day? So most people aren't even getting basic things right, and then they're hyper-focused on these, the timing of a pre-workout to intra-workout thing, and it's like, oh my God, you're getting the 1% thing right? You're worried about the 1%? Ugh. So it is a good idea. I'm not about to be negative on it, but make sure you get your bigger stuff in place first, okay? Make sure your calories are right. Make sure your protein content per day is right. Make sure your meal timing is correct. Put your effort into that stuff before you worry about some kind of crazy concoction of intra-workout drink sodium-based levels, okay? Now, somebody asked about like homemade drinks. Really all you're looking for is, if you want a hydration drink, is something that has carbohydrates, sodium, and water. That's it. However you want to put that together. So some people will talk about like pickle juice and all this other craziness, and there is definitely help and benefit to all that stuff. But at the end of the day, most people are going to be, if they're worried about this, they have their priorities in the wrong order. So get your calories first, get your protein content first, get your meal timing first. Then, when you want to look at intra-workout, make sure you're having something pre-workout. Okay, make sure you're eating some food and drinking fluid about 15 to 60 minutes before you work out. And there's a whole bunch of variants there, but that's about the idea. Is have something before you work out. And then during the workout, if your pre-workout meal is high in carbohydrates and sodium, then you can just have straight water during the workout and you're fine. If your pre-workout meal was not high in carbohydrates or sodium, then you'd want to have some carbohydrates or sodium in your intra-workout drink. So it kind of like is a give and a take. It's a little bit of, it depends on what you do before you get there kind of thing. So one of the things I simply use is I drink whole milk while I work out. Now, I know that's not common for most people, but to me it works well. It has some sodium in there, it has some sugars in there, and also whole milk has the fats, which actually allow the milk to digest a little bit slower for me. And what I like about that is it feels like it sits around better for my body to use, rather than just running straight through me and I have to pee 4 times during the hour, okay? So I use whole milk. It works great for me. If you want to do something of your own, a lot of people will use water. They'll use Gatorade powder, which is basically a form of sugar you can just kind of modify. And then they'll add iodized salt to that in some fashion. So how much carbs to how much salt to how much water? There are those equations. You can Google them. But it really comes down to preference. So I've followed those equations. They taste like shit. So then I had to kind of like modify it to what I felt was palatable. So you can look that stuff up, but eventually you'll have to just kind of tweak it to what's best for you. So, but basically just salting some Gatorade is going to be a pretty good way to do it. The Gatorade gives you the sugars, and then the salt obviously gives you the sodium to make the glycogen that you want. However, the best thing to do going into a workout is to not be in desperate need of an intra-workout drink. So it's better to eat solid food carbohydrates and salted carbohydrates before your training. If you do that, you're going to have a much better performance. So it kind of like makes sense that we would give the body what it needs before we start being active. If you kind of skimp out on that pre-workout meal, then you think you have the perfect concoction for an intra-workout drink, too late. So by the time you already start exercising, then you're just trying to put your finger in the dam, as they say. You know, like the body's already starting to use stuff, and now you're just trying to pour it in. So you're trying at best to catch up to where you were. Whereas if you do this stuff before you work out, you're set up to be the best before you even start. So that would be my recommendation, is worry less about an intra-workout drink and focus more on a pre-workout meal. That's going to get you much better results. Okay? Now, what about electrolytes? Again, if you eat a normal diet with carbohydrates and some sodium in your foods and whatever, you have no need for electrolytes while you work out at all. Okay? So, if somebody does follow a low-calorie diet, or they have no sodium in like in their foods, or no added sodium, no, like they don't really have high sodium-based foods, and then especially if they do endurance-type training, they're going to need possibly some electrolytes during their workout. So that can be sold to, like, there's electrolyte packets you can add to water and stuff like that. Or you can just add, like we said, like kind of sugar and salt to the water, and that'll help. It's just kind of, I know I'm being general, but the reason why is because overwhelmingly most people don't need the specifics of this. And if I give you the specifics, you're going to hyper-focus on this bullshit rather than paying attention to your actual calories per day, protein per day, and meal timing. So focus on that stuff more. It's going to be way more effective. So, do most people need electrolytes? No. Do endurance-based athletes who don't eat enough? Yes. So they're going to need some electrolytes. So how they would know is if they had any cramping during their activities, or if they felt like they hit a wall really hard. So if they're normal, kind of when they're going and doing their thing, and then they hit a little bit of a wall, then they catch a second wind, that should be just a little bit of like fluctuations. But if it feels like they hit a wall, like literally a brick wall, and they just can't move anymore, chances are they got really dehydrated and their body's starting to downgrade performance. So they can play around with electrolytes, they can play around with caloric intake during their activity through like liquids and see if that can help kind of push them past that spot. And it often does. So if anybody listening to this is a endurance-based athlete and you would like more specifics, shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com and I'll help you. I just don't want to confuse everybody else on this podcast. So the big keys, big takeaways from this is start every day if you can by drinking about 16 to 24 ounces of some type of water with or before breakfast. So every day when people wake up, they're 99.9% dehydrated from sleeping. So the time you went without food and without water, and your body was doing processes throughout the night to fix and repair your body, so it's going to wake up dehydrated. So put some fluid in there. And it can be anything non-carbonated. So it can be tea, it can be flavored waters, it can be whatever you want, just anything non-carbonated. And if you do that with or before breakfast, it helps to make sure breakfast digests better, and you start your day with a better kind of digestive stress. You start your day with better absorption of nutrients, and it's just going to make the day go a lot better in general. So then you want to drink fluids before, during, and after every meal. It helps with digestion. I've had people say, well, I don't like drinking water while I eat or drinking fluid while I eat. That's fine. Then drink it before or after. However you want to do it. It's just every time you put food in your face, around that time, there should be liquid put in your face as well to help with digestion. You also want to drink fluids before, during, and after any activities. It makes sense. If you run the machine of your body, give your machine hydration, give your machine the maintenance and repair that it needs, okay? And water flavorings are okay. So you can put fruit in your water to kind of natural flavor it. You can do squirt bottles, you can do flavor packs, whatever you want to do, as long as it's non-carbonated. So the general approach to hydration is, our body is a machine, and water is kind of like the oil of the body. If everything stays hydrated, everything moves smoothly, including physical, emotional, mental, everything, okay? So if you're not drinking at least a half a gallon a day, that's your first goal. Get to a half a gallon of non-carbonated fluid every day. Do whatever you gotta do. Put in a schedule on your phone, carry a big jug of water around, whatever the hell you gotta do, get that done. Okay, you're gonna feel a lot better right away. Okay? So that's goal number one, get some damn water in your face. So get to a half a gallon. Now, once you have a half a gallon in, then start paying attention to timing. So am I drinking fluids when I eat? And that's going to make digestion feel a lot better. I'm going to have better energy for my foods. And then also, am I drinking fluids before I'm active? So am I giving my body hydration before I even start dehydrating it? So if you're preemptive, okay, that's going to get you better results than trying to be reactive. So rehydrating after activity just helps recovery. It didn't help the activity. The activity was already done. So hydrate before the activity and hydrate after the activity. And if the activity is long enough and you don't mind drinking water while you're doing it, then hydrating during the activity is even better too, okay? So it just kind of makes sense. If I want to run my body, I have to put calories in it so it has some energy. I want to also put some liquids in it so that way it runs smoothly. So it's like oiling a machine, okay? So we know machines to run well, they have to have fuel and they have to have oil. That's what we're looking for. So food is our fuel, liquid is our oil. That's the goal, okay? Now, I don't know, hopefully this was as much information as the person who asked for this needed, and I know I kind of skimped down on some of the more details, but the reason why is because this is one of the topics that people get so hyper-focused on, and then they miss everything else that's bigger on it. That's where people talk to me about, like blood-type diets, or like whether food's organic or not. And it's like, oh my gosh, why are you worried about that? You don't have any clue how many calories you're eating per day. You don't eat enough protein, and you're only eating twice a day. So your meal timing is horrible, and you think that what's making you overweight is something being organic or not? Holy shit. So this is one of the topics that people get hyper-focused on, and like I said, they miss the big stuff. So don't miss the big stuff, okay? First of all, pay attention to your calories. And we've done a past podcast where I explain a little bit about that. So how many calories do I need per day? And that podcast, I believe it's 157. I'll have to look that up for you guys while I'm yapping. But that's what you want to do, is you want to make sure that stuff, the bigger picture things, are addressed first. Because otherwise, you're just going to be paying attention to really small things that won't have as significant as effect as you would like them to. So, for example, a lot of times people will say, well, I'm doing what you said about hydration, but I still don't feel that great. And then we find out that they're 500 calories below what they actually really need every day. And it's like, well, you know, it has nothing to do with whether you're doing hydration or not, right? You don't even have your calories right. So it was 157. Number 157 is how many calories do I need? So that would be a podcast to look up. And then protein, how much protein do you need per day? That is podcast number 33, okay? And then the other thing that you need to pay attention to is meal timing. And that is podcast number 249. So those are the things you need to do first before you worry about hydration concerns and specifics and all that stuff. So it is important. It is good that you look at that stuff. But you have to make sure you look at things in order of importance, in order of what's the most bang for your buck. Okay? So hopefully this was helpful. If you have any extra questions, feel welcome to shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you do want specifics on setting up like hydration stuff, and you promise me you have the basics done right, I will give you all the details and all the answers, and I'll help you. Okay? So just make sure you get the basic stuff first. Cool. Okay. So if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. So the more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we would love to hear from you. So this podcast is for you, so we'll know what you want to learn about. And you can reach us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful. And thank you for listening.